Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Stop by one of its 7 branches or go to mecu.com for more information. We are joined this part of our program by Dr. Jeffrey Brown. Dr. Jeffrey Brown is an internist. He wrote a book called Health Power 101, The Complete Guide to Patient Empowerment. This is a show really for all of us. I mean, if you have any questions about medical care, about what you should be looking for, the questions you should be asking, this is a book about empowering you to take control of your own health and not just leave it up to doctors, we can be very intimidated by physicians, by hospitals, by medical health professionals, because we always think they know more than we do and we have to listen to everything they say. We're afraid to interview our doctors, question them, and stand up for ourselves. So we're going to talk about that this hour, and you can bring your own personal experiences to the airwaves here at 410-319-8888. The book we're going to talk about covers things like patient empowerment, knowing thy health is one of the 11th commandment, know your rights as a patient, because there is a patient's bill of rights. We'll talk about that. How do you find the best doctor? What questions do you ask? What do you need to know about medication? Diet and exercise, which is really important. Preventing disease, which we'll talk about various diseases that you and I might have over the course of our lives, and what do we do about that? I have my notes ready, the book all marked up, and welcome Dr. Jeffrey Brown. Good to have you in the studio.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Good to have you here. So please join us here at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Just think of the questions you want to ask your doctor, want to ask a doctor or a health professional, and bring those here to the airwaves now. I mean, people are intimidated by their doctors. Well, by my medicine in particular. Let me take that back. People are not intimidated by their doctors so much as people are reluctant to push a physician and ask their physician tough questions. I mean, they just kind of go along a lot because physicians have a position of power in a lot of ways.
Exactly. Exactly. People definitely are. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that a lot of people just aren't empowered and they don't know their rights as a patient, as a participant in their healthcare. And I think what I really attempt to do with the book is to give people that information that, hey, you do have certain rights. You have rights as a patient. It's your ultimate responsibility to take care of yourself and look after your health. It's your doctor is there to team up with you, but ultimately the responsibility is yours.
So, in your book, I mean, one of the things that you created a body of forms to this book that are pretty amazing. I mean, it's that can be intimidating in itself. All the forms, you created forms to help us gain power.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, one of the reasons that I wrote the book, starting as far back as in my residency program, and it really continues to today. You know, I've met patient after patient, really hundreds of patients, who have a definite lack of knowledge about their personal health and about common health issues. And you know, this lack of knowledge is so dangerous on many levels because it really puts a person at risk for being exposed to potential medical mismanagement, medical errors, and more importantly. Importantly, it puts people at risk of just not doing what it takes to be empowered, you know? And if you're not empowered to look after your health, if you're not empowered to interact with your doctor, if you're not empowered to be a member of the team, you know, not just somebody sitting on the sidelines waiting for your healthcare provider to give you instructions, but to actually engage your doctor and engage your team, you know, you're going to likely suffer. I can't tell you how many patients I see who come to the hospital every day not knowing the very basics about their health history and their past medical issues. And this is pretty risky because the healthcare system in and of itself is very complex and it can be very dangerous. So it's really important that people get to know, okay, what is it that I should know about my health and what should I do about it, you know? So there are many things that I cover in the book and, you know, patient empowerment is critically important.
I mean, I'd like our listeners to join us at 410-319-8888 on any course of this conversation and your... maybe you can just join us with your own experiences with your own doctor. I don't have to mention the doctor's name on the air, but your own questions you thought were not answered, and what you feel like when you go to the doctor, other than ill, to talk about what it is that you remember from it, and what kind of things you think you should have said, what you wanted to know you didn't know, and why? 410-319-8888. I mean, when you say to know your health, I mean, we are intimidated by medical care for a lot of reasons. I mean, you write about some of them here in the beginning of the book, because the costs of going to a doctor.
Right.
And we say paternalistic care. I mean, that is the feeling you get oftentimes.
Exactly.
When you talk to a physician, you're being talked down to.
Right, right.
So how do you gain that back?
You know, there are many things wrong with the healthcare system, and hopefully this most recent healthcare reform bill addresses some of those issues, and I think it ultimately will. But yeah, care is very expensive. You know, there was a study done by the Kaiser Family Foundation that found that from 2001 through 2007 that the average cost for family insurance went up by 78%, but at the same time, inflation went up only by 17% and wages by 14%. You know, so how do you do it? How do you feel comfortable going to see your doctor and asking questions? I can tell you this, first of all, I love to get questions from my patients, you know, and particularly if they're thought out questions, you can tell that the patient, maybe before they came to see you, they said, okay, well, this is what I'm going to see the doctor for. Let's say if I've got symptoms of feeling nauseous or having some vomiting or belly pain, before you go to see the doctor, write down exactly what the symptoms are, when they started, what happened around the time when they started. So when you go in, you know, you say, hey, doc, well, this is what's going on with me. Now, you know, tell me a little bit more about it. So I think that a lot of patients don't feel comfortable, but I don't know if it's necessarily founded. And I think if you go in and you actually begin to talk to your physician, I think you'll be surprised in a lot of cases. You know, I really do.
Now, one of the things you get people to do is to kind of what you call improving your health literacy,
right?
Understanding your, but that tell me how you begin to do that without knowing medicine, without knowing issues. I mean, you have these great forms here, which we're going to get to in just a minute. But I mean, how do you even begin to get to that place?
Right, right. You know, health literacy is defined as the degree to which people have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic health information and services that allows them to make appropriate medical decisions. So what's the first step? The first step is really, you know, getting a book, not necessarily mine per se. I would love
but
for you to
not?
Get it. Why not? Exactly. But you really have to start somewhere, you know, and I went through great pains, at least in this book, to explain and to break things down into plain language about what you should know. You know, there are basic things like, for example, you know, you need to keep a accurate and current list of all the medications you're on. You should know that. You should know why you're on those medications. You should know what your medication allergies are. You should know what your past medical history is, your family history. You know, this bit of information is so critical, and that's a great place to start. Just gathering all the details about your health history, about your family history is a great place to start, because once you get that, you can say, okay, well, this is what's going on, and this is what I should pay attention to. And you keep that on. You keep that on your person. When you go see your doctor, you know, you share your, let's say, your medication list. That in and of itself can prevent you from maybe being prescribed a medication that you're already taking or maybe you don't need.
But, I mean, you write in here, I mean, that and one of the things you said earlier in the book is that this is amazing. Approximately 14 million Americans reported that different doctors diagnosed them with varied medical problems from the same set of symptoms.
Exactly.
In the past year. 17 million Americans say they received contradictory information from the same chronic illness from health professionals. And approximately 16 million Americans reported they have been warned by a pharmacist about a possible harmful interaction between medications that they were prescribed by one or more physicians. So how do you get around that?
Well, the best place to start with that, the best way to deal with that is to make sure that you have a primary care doctor that you know and that you trust
and that
you respect, okay? That's, I can't tell you the importance of having a smart doctor as your team leader. You know, this is so critical. That's why I dedicate a whole chapter in the book to how to find the ideal doctor for you.
I'm gonna jump to that. Let me go to the phones here, but I'm gonna talk and folks, join us here, 410-319-8888. Perhaps, you know, you're thinking about, you don't have a primary care doctor, you want a primary care doctor. How do you find one? How do you ask the right questions to know that this doctor is right for you? 410-319-8888. Cedric, you're on the air. Hi, Cedric, you're on the air.
Cedric, 410-319-8888.
Cedric, you're on the air?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Welcome.
Hi, Cedric.
Hi. I'm relocating from Maryland to Massachusetts. I anticipate this will be June of this year. And while in Maryland, I've had some medical procedures, some major and other I consider kind of routine. My question is that I would like for my medical records to follow me for the purpose of continuity and also allowing the physician to make informed decisions about my health care.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that? I mean, do I just go to the doctor's office and request copies of my records, or do I just trust that upon request, everything is automatically forwarded to the physician of
There are two ways to do this, and it's such a good question, because just like you have citizenship rights, you really have rights as a patient, you know? So it is your legal right to request your medical records at any point, at any time, okay? So if I were in your shoes, if you're going to a new state, the best thing to do is to go to your doctor. You can write a letter. Actually, in my book, I have a sample letter for requesting your medical records to be mailed to you. So if you happen to get the book, the letter is there. If not, look online. Or just talk to your doctor. So you go to your doctor and say, hey, I'm moving away. Just let him know exactly what you're trying to do. I'm moving away, and I would like copies of my medical records. And he is legally obligated, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind, hopefully, to give you copies. So get copies for yourself and take them with you. Also, if you like, once you get to where you're going, you can have the doctor there to request records. But if I were you, I would definitely get copies for myself. And this kind of goes back to the heart of what patient empowerment is all about. It's about gathering that information about your health history.
Because your records belong to you.
They belong to you.
I mean, the doctor has them, but you can have a copy of everything the doctor has.
You can have a copy of everything the doctor has. In 2003, Congress passed a special kind of legislation. It's called HIPAA for short. Basically, it gives you the legal right to make copies and to view all of your medical records. In addition to that, when you go through your medical records, if you see something there that's not accurate, that let's say you don't have this diagnosis, you have the right to request the physician who put it in there to correct it. You know, because that may go against you if you're looking for health care somewhere. There are many other rights that you have, but absolutely, be empowered.
I mean, one of the things that my physician, my primary care doctor, will, whenever I see him, he always gives me copies of everything. I mean, he's very forthright in that, but I think oftentimes, as the patient, you have to request it.
Right.
And don't be afraid to request it.
Don't be afraid. We won't be offended, most of us.
Cedric, thank you for the call, and good luck with your move.
Good luck, Cedric.
410-319-8888. Elizabeth in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, I have two questions.
Sure.
First off, I've spent most of my adulthood moving from city to city. So for me, I've never had a primary physician. It's urgent care whenever I need medical attention. Thankfully, I haven't, knock on wood, been severely ill. So I guess my first question is, how do I go about finding that primary physician? And second, my mother was adopted, so as far as having any, and she's passed, so as far as having any medical records or history, I just don't have that. Any advice?
Exactly. So your family, your past medical, your family history part is going to be very difficult. Obviously, if you don't have access to biological family members, you're limited in that regard. But now, as far as you finding a primary care doctor, it's not as hard as you think. As a matter of fact, you should expect to be able to find a good doctor that fits with you. Not every doctor is right for every patient. You know, so you really have to start where to look. Let's say if you know anybody, any friends or family that have any experience with the healthcare system, ask that person first. Say, you know, do you know of any good primary care doctors who were reliable, who enjoyed talking to patients and explaining things to patients? Start there. Ask people that you know that may have some affiliations with the healthcare system. Additionally, once you start looking for a primary care doctor, there are several things that you should ask, like, is this doctor board certified? Is this doctor licensed in my state? These are simple questions, but you'll be surprised sometimes once you get the answers, you know?
How could you have a doctor that wasn't board certified or licensed in the state they're in?
Well, yeah, I'm sure you guys have heard some interesting news stories from time to time where, you know, in certain states, after coming out of medical school, you do not have to be board certified to practice medicine. It depends on the state that you're in. Maybe that doctor who didn't get board certification, who could never pass the test, may be a fairly decent doctor. But, you know, I think if I were in the patient's shoes, I would want a doctor who was able to pass the test for board certification. So there's a way to do that. Actually, in my book, if you go to www.docbord.org, you can actually find out, is your doctor board certified?
Elizabeth, did we answer all the questions? I guess he's not there. Okay. Thank you so much for being part of the show. We appreciate you joining us. 410-319-8888. Dr. Jeffrey Brown is with us. He's written the book Health Power 101, The Complete Guide to Patient Empowerment. He's a local physician, works out of GBMC.
GBMC.
Has written this book to give us, the patient, the power to talk with our physicians, take control of our health. But it's not just talking to our physicians. It's taking control of our health. I mean, one of the things you have here, which I'm really, really fascinated by, are those forms you filled out, I mean, you created, to give us a way to understand who we are medically, and health-wise, and how to control that.
Right.
So tell me, did you make all these up?
Yeah, actually, I did make them up. this is a project that started many years ago, actually going back to my residency program. So I've spent some time making them up. And actually, in chapter two is entitled Know Thy Health.
Know Thy Health.
You know, it is so important. Okay, and what I'm doing in chapter two is encouraging the reader to actually create a health profile. So what is a health profile? A health profile basically is a document where you place and you record all of your past medical history. Things like your past allergies, medication allergies, food allergies, medications that you take, medications that you once took, your past medical history. So all this information is so important, again, because you want to keep it at hand. Additionally, there's information in there about how to go and find other hospital information that if you've been hospitalized before, how do you request it, you know? So it covers a lot.
410-319-8888, as we go through some of these, which we're about to do inch by inch here, to give you a sense of what you can kind of call in and join us to talk about. Let's go to Clarence in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Clarence. Welcome.
I've asked this question before. I've mentioned it to you before. When I was listening to all of the this talk about the cost of computerizing all the medical records, and I kept thinking to myself about the system that I already know exists, and it works, the system that the Department of Veteran Affairs uses called CPRS. A veteran can walk in anywhere in the country, in any state of the country, and his medical records are available to any physician, primary care physician, in 5 seconds, just
right,
like that. And I was wondering, this is one area where I would really like to see the government step in and say this should be the national standard. I mean, with modification and security features, you know, put in for the general public, and, you know, then it would be perfect and very cost effective.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think the Obama administration is working hard at that. You're right. The Veteran Affairs, the Veteran Hospital System is completely computerized. All the medical records are on the computer. Any physician within the Veteran Affairs facility, they're able to obtain your records at any point in any city. It's there. You're right. And this is definitely a great model. And it's something that the administration is currently working on. It's just not in place yet in the private sector.
Okay.
Clarence, thanks so much. I'm sorry, did you have another question?
No, thank you very much.
All right, thank
you. You're welcome, sir.
Take care.
All right.
Good to hear from you. You even suggest in here that patients should write to their physicians requesting that send them copies of the significant laboratory reports, imaging reports, you know, even CAT scans, echoes, MRIs, pathology reports like your EKG, specialist consultation reports, hospital discharge summaries, operative reports, and just send them a self-stamped envelope and whatever it costs to make the copies, and literally requesting those from your doctors so you have the records at home. So they belong to you and can travel with you.
Exactly. So you have the records on your person, and you take them with you. Let's say if you're going to see a new doctor. Let's say if you're traveling, you know, it may be important to have this information, because if a doctor can look at your medical records that you bring in with you and find out that you had a test done, let's say 2 months ago or a year ago, and he's thinking about doing the same test, he may not do it because you've got the medical record, you've got the test results with you. And that can certainly save you some money on the test itself, and it can certainly save you the exposure, the risk of undergoing another test.
410-319-8888. We're here with Dr. Jeffrey Brown, who is an internist and written the book Health Power 101, The Complete Guide to Patient Empowerment. It says, your hour to be empowered. Does that sound right? I guess it is.
That sounds
good. It worked. For health empowered anyway. 410-319-8888. Sandy in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Did you say Health Power 101?
That is the name of the book, yes.
Yes.
Okay. If your primary care physician, you haven't seen him in several months, and you call for an appointment, and the office employee informs you that he's no longer accepting, let's say, Medicaid patients, what's your recourse?
Yeah. Unfortunate, Sandy, you really don't have any recourse, because a doctor can refuse to take certain types of insurance and actually Medicaid and Medicare if he wishes.
Oh, really?
Yes, unfortunately. So he's got that right. Now, you would think that hopefully if you got a sensitive doctor, he will send you a letter in time so you could be made aware of this change, and you could maybe he can make a referral for you to see someone else. So if you call the office and if he's really not accepting anymore, maybe they can give you a referral for another doctor who's accepting that type of insurance.
Okay. Also, would you repeat the website for Doctor Certified, please, for me?
Yeah, it's www.docpro. Let me just try to go to it here. You know, I'll come back to it in just a little bit, okay?
Okay, I'll be sure to. Where can one purchase your book?
You can buy it online at my website at www.jeffreybrownmd.com. It's available on Amazon as well. It's available at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum here in Baltimore and the Rema Bookstore in Randallstown.
And do you have a specialty?
Internal medicine.
All right, thank you so much.
And actually, that web address is www.docboard.org.
Right, docboard.org.
Right.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling, Sandy. And that's one of the reasons we need a public option on single payer. We didn't get it this time, but if you had that, you wouldn't have to worry about people taking
That's okay. You know, at least we moved the ball down the field, so to speak.
We want to move a little bit further.
Right, right. We need to go further. This is certainly not a touchdown.
No, it's not a
football
touchdown.
Analogy.
Maybe we've got to the 50-yard line.
I would
45.
Say, yeah, 35, 40.
35, yes. 40 minutes.
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
Being generous.
Right.
410-319-8888. We're here with Dr. Jeffrey Brown. His book is called Health Power 101, The Complete Guide to Patient Empowerment. This is really a time to have a conversation with Jeffrey Brown about not just about your health disorders, but we're talking about how to take control of your life health-wise and how to take control of your medical records, what forms that you can. One of the interesting things about this book is it's loaded with forms to create that you keep in your house and also you keep in your wallet, which we'll talk about in a minute, that have all your medical records on it for yourself so that you have those, and that's a huge step forward. But let's go to the phones, and then we're going to talk about advanced directives, which I think is a really critical piece. 410-319-8888. Robert in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Good evening, Mark.
Good evening.
Dr. Brown.
Hi, Robert.
I read some of Dr. Brown's book, and I like to commend him on his book. And also, I met him at the NAACP meeting, so he's getting out in the community and you know, where the people need to have this information.
Yes, he is.
I just want to commend him on that.
Thanks, Robert.
Because you've been speaking at churches and all around town.
Churches, colleges, yeah. So pretty busy. I think it's so important that I think as a healthcare provider, we do have an obligation to get out there in the community and to talk to people, because I can tell you when patients go to see the doctor and they're in the doctor's office, the doctor has the white coat on, it can be intimidating,
yeah.
You know, and I've found that when I go out in the community, when I go to a church to give a talk, people are in a more relaxed situation. They have lots of questions, and a lot of people who go to see their doctor and the doctor's, you know, espousing this and talking about what they should do, that's important. And I think a lot of people nod their head like, yeah, I understand that. But in reality, they don't, you know. So I think it's really important to get out. Absolutely.
Dr. Jeffrey Brown is our guest. His book, Health Power 101, 410-319-8888 is the number here. Remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. For the 19th consecutive year, the Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News & World Report in their annual Best Hospital Survey. Find out more about the nation's top hospital at hopkinsmedicine.org. That underwriting announcement has nothing to do with the book nor the doctor. Let me just say that as well, just where it was placed in the show. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We'll be right back with Dr. Brown. Please join us for your questions and ideas and thoughts. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite, Baltimore's monthly magazine of ideas and innovation. In this month's issue, four teams of collaborators explore four very different visions of the city. It's the Urbanite issue, a special annual issue devoted to showcasing outside-the-box thinking from Baltimore's most creative minds. Urbanite is available at over 800 locations. Visit www.urbaniteBaltimore.com for a list of drop locations. And remind you that tomorrow, on our show, some of our programming tomorrow will be devoted to those Urbanite stories. One of them, I'll just tell you now, if we can go back to our conversation, comes right out of Morgan State University, and its architecture program, where they have realized that under the streets of Baltimore, we live in a delta, are rivers and streams. Their idea is to make the city grow and enhance it as a community and enhance our environment, unearth the rivers. We're going to talk about that. That's tomorrow. Right now, we're talking about unearthing your power to control your health care with Dr. Jeffrey Brown, who's written the book, Health Power 101, The Complete Guide to Patient Empowerment. You can join us here at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888, with your questions about your health care and what power you have and what you should do to take control of your health care and what makes you a healthy human being. Join us here at 410-319-8888. This is an aside. We're just talking about your background. That you grew up in Florida, been here for 10 years. You went to Meharry Medical College.
That's right.
Storied institution.
That's right. Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah. Did my residency training at Johns Hopkins Sinai Hospital Program in Internal Medicine.
And now you're at GBMC.
Yeah, GBMC.
And running around the community talking about how to control your health care.
Exactly.
How to control your health, I mean.
How to take charge.
One of the things that we talked about here was the whole idea of advanced directives and the complexity of having forms that fill out not just about what happens at end of life or if you are critically injured, but also who can take charge of your medical decisions and who can be part of your medical decision-making, even if you're well.
Exactly.
Who else a doctor can talk to? Talk about that.
Yeah. So your advanced directives, we talked a little bit about your patient rights when you go to the hospital, when you interact with the healthcare system, but you also have rights as a human being anytime you get involved in the healthcare system, particularly at the end of life. So advanced directives pretty much give directions to what you want done if you're in a situation where you're critically ill or you're near the end of life. And basically, depending on the state that you're in, there are many different forms to fill out for your advanced directives. Here in Maryland, the form really embodies two important parts of the advanced directives, the living will and the durable power of attorney. So this is really important. Now, I think that everybody, no matter how old or young you are, you should complete your advanced directives because what you want to do, you want to know, you want to be in charge of what happens to you if you're in a situation where you cannot communicate anymore. You don't want to give that, you know, willy-nilly to somebody else to make those tough decisions for you where you may end up suffering a great deal. So with the living will, essentially, you tell people what you want done to yourself, what you don't want done to yourself at the end of life. Let's say if you say, I know for certain at this point in my life that I do not want to be placed on a ventilator. I don't want some respirator to breathe for me for the next, let's say, 6 months or 2 years. In addition to that, you may say, well, I never want to be on hemodialysis, or I do not want...
What is hemodialysis?
Hemodialysis is a machine where they basically cleanse, the machine cleanses your blood because you have kidney failure that's complete. So your kidneys are completely shut down. And so you need the machine to actually cleanse the blood and take off the extra fluid. You know, so you may know that at this point. Also, you may know that you don't want CPR.
Why would I not want either one of those?
Well, it just depends. You know, Mark, if you're a 20-year-old guy like yourself,
you
may want everything done. Okay. All right. But if let's say if you're an 85-year-old person, mm-hmm. or you know, if you're in your 90s and you've lived a good life and maybe some loved ones have passed already and you're tired and you want to live the rest of your life as natural as possible. And you say to yourself, you know what, whatever happens, I'm going to let nature take its course. That may be a situation.
And in the book, you have these you have forms you can fill out. You actually help people figure out how to create the forms themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the other part of an advanced directive is a durable power of attorney. That's a little bit different from the living will. The living will, you pretty much give people direction on what you want done and what you don't want done to your body. But with a durable power of attorney, you put someone else in charge. This person is often called a proxy or an agent. So you pick somebody that you know, that you trust, and somebody that has the emotional capacity to make the right decisions for you.
And one of the things is as scary as it sounds, and people might think it sounds negative, but it's not. You encourage people not just to have this form and fill it out, but to keep on your person, in your purse, in your wallet, something that says, these are my advanced directives, or where to go to get the advanced directives, and who to call.
Exactly. You know, let's say, God forbid, that you're in a car accident, and it may not be critical, or you may not be at the end of life, but maybe you can't communicate anymore, at least for that time. So it's important, if you've got documentation on your person, maybe the EMS person will look in your purse or your wallet and find out, hey, this person is DNR, meaning that they do not want to be resuscitated, or they have other advanced directives that give directions to the healthcare.
410-319-8888. We're talking with Dr. Jeffrey Brown, who wrote the book Health Power 101, The Complete Guide to Patient Empowerment. We're going to jump into some of the diseases that we have and some of the issues we can kind of make our health better. But let's go to the phones first here, 410-319-8888. And we have Jacqueline. You're on the phone.
Hello.
Hi, Jacqueline. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi. Thanks. First, I just want to say I'm glad he wrote the book. I don't have it yet. I'm going to get it to read it. And I think that's a great idea that people do need to be on top of their own health care as well as with the with the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing I want to touch on is the fact that when the lady called before me and she asked a question about she had Medicare. Mm-hmm. Why would they, and the doctor denied her saying he don't accept Medicare any longer.
I think it was Medicaid.
Right.
Medicaid. Mm-hmm.
Either one, actually, you could say no to.
Either one, right. Exactly.
Yeah, because now I encountered a situation like that, and maybe we need to go online and inform people of these type doctors that don't want to accept certain health benefits from people because, I mean, you want the best care for your health as possible. If you go to a hospital such as Johns Hopkins and you know that they specialize in something, you want that doctor's opinion. You wouldn't want to go to somebody who may be second-guessing or questioning his own self. You want the best answer for your problem. And then let you see if you can afford that doctor. But for them to say, we don't accept certain healthcare plans or whatever, to me, they're not, honoring their creed. First, do no harm. You just did me harm.
Yeah. You know, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. That's something
it's not a tough one. It to me, it's more about, they're all about the dollar. And with all the people in the world, they all stand to benefit some type of way. You know, and then you have...
Right.
You have people like me, and I'm going to tell you, I do not have any faith in any doctors unless I have a cut and he can stitch it. Internally, I'm going with whatever is wrong with me. I'm going to leave this earth with it because I just don't feel that, the doctors are truly about what they're supposed to be about, healing people. It's about the dollar now.
Well, Jack, let me let Dr. Brown respond.
Yeah. Well, you're making some really good points. And one of the reasons that I'm here now today talking on this radio show and the reason that I go out to churches, the great majority of places that I go and give talks, I don't charge a dime. So for me, it's definitely not about the money. So it's all about the patient. And unfortunately, you're right. Doctors in America still have the right to refuse certain types of insurance. We do not have a single payer system in America at this point. And so therefore, doctors are not employed by the U.S. government. So they can do pretty much what they want to do. But I can tell you, I know lots of doctors who are good people and who give lots of free care, as a matter of fact. So I think that the doctors are out there, you know, and I think you have to just really do whatever it takes to find the doctor that's a good fit for you, because you shouldn't accept that anything that happens to your body, you're just going to go that way. There are ways of dealing with that, okay?
Okay, well,
check. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Can you hear me still?
One last thought, because we have to go on.
I just want to ask, can he, on his website, post some information about other doctors so people will know that there are people out here who do care?
Can you do that, Jeff?
Well, I don't know if I can post information against doctors who don't accept certain insurance because, you know, unfortunately, it's just how it is and it's their right. But, you know, if you go to my website, I do have lots of information about how to go about finding your doctor.
Because what Jacqueline was saying, the question is, how do you choose the doctor that will take care of you? How do you know that the person you want to see is the person that you need to see?
How do you know? Well, you start out by getting those referrals, talking to people. Let's say, you know, who do you know? I mean, if you know a friend who has a good doctor, say, well, tell me about this doctor. Call the doctor's office and say, well, I'm looking to, you know, come see this doctor and tell me, does he accept my form of health insurance, you know? Secondly, you know, is he a doctor who's known for really being thoughtful and you know, committed to taking care of the patients? There are ways to do it. And again, you know, there's a whole chapter here on how to go about doing that. There's lots of good information there.
One of the most, I guess, confusing chapters for me, confusing only in that it's so difficult to put your hands around, to encompass, understand, are prescriptions and medications. There's so many prescriptions and medications, and it's so difficult sometimes to get generic drugs as opposed to the brand drugs. And especially the new healthcare bill that was passed, it makes it even more difficult in some ways to get generic drugs that you used to be able to get. Because Big Pharma won out on that one. But enough political commentary, go back to the book. When you look at, you have this here list of all the medication uses to treat different conditions. It's a list, but what does it tell us in, how does a layman really understand what this means?
Right. You know, Mark, it's really what I'm trying to do here, what I'm not trying to do really, it's not your job to decide what medication you should be on. You know, again, it kind of goes back to that same thing, having the right, smart doctor that you trust, okay? Now, once you get that, once you're working with somebody that you trust, and let's say if he prescribes a new prescription medication, you know, there's a list of questions that you should ask your doctor. Say, hey, is that medication that you're prescribing for me, is it available in generic? And if so, do you recommend it for my unique health situation? Because every generic medication is not right for every patient, okay? Maybe a brand medication is the best for you. So you really want to start out there. And what I want to encourage you to do is to, once you figure out what medications you should be on, and once you feel confident that your doctor puts you on that medication for the right reasons, and there are no other options out there to do it another way, then I want you to know everything you can know without going overboard about the medications that you take. Because I can't tell you how many patients I see who come in on a list of medications, sometimes 15 to 20 prescription medications, and you ask them why they're on them, and they have no idea.
So how do you begin to know? I mean, that's a lot to understand.
It is a lot to understand. And actually, in the chapter, there's a list of medications. And, you know, you can certainly go through the list that I provided in the book, and you can find the medication that you may be taking. And actually, in the book, I explain the reason why you're on it. You know, and that's a good place to start. Let's say if you're taking one medication and it turns out that it's for high blood pressure. It's just important to know that I'm taking that medication for high blood pressure. If you're on another medication,
right,
that could be treating diabetes, it's really important that you just know, hey, that medication is for diabetes, you know, so you're not blindly popping pills.
And I think it's important you're also coming in here saying that you're telling people the critical questions to ask your healthcare provider about any medication you have to take. I mean, from what is the name of the medication to what are the side effects to is it safe for, does it reduce my kidney liver function to what drinks should I avoid to what happens if I miss a dose by accident? Is there too much water possible to take with this medicine? Can I crush it? Or they put the capsule on my food? I mean, there's all these questions you're saying that you need to ask and need to know. Not just yes, doc. I'll take this medicine.
Exactly. You should definitely ask this list of questions about any medication, any new prescription medication that you're starting, and not only that, but look at the current list of medications you're already taking, and go through that list the next time you go see your doctor and say, okay, let's tell me more about these medications without going too far. It, you know, you can learn a lot without going into the really unnecessary stuff.
How do you take charge of your health care? How do you take charge of your health? How do you choose your doctor? How do you figure all this out? It's not easy. Join us here at 410-319-8888. We're attempting to make it easier. We're talking to Dr. Jeffrey Brown, an internist, works at GBMC. His new book is Health Power 101, The Complete Guide to Patient Empowerment. And you can join us here live now to have your questions answered as we have this conversation about his work and his book. 410-319-8888. And besides that, one of the things that we talk about and you talk about in your book is about diet, exercise, and weight control. And it's that's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
I mean, you know, because as you write in the beginning of the book, you know, obesity is an objectionable term for most people. And it can mean something, you know, we a lot of times, you know, we are, while there are many people who are overweight in America,
right,
we are also so conscious about weight, we're just phobic about, you know, gaining weight or being large. Some people are, we talked about this earlier. I mean, some people, before we go on the air, some people are just larger than other folks. That doesn't mean they're not healthy.
Right.
And some people are just really thin. It doesn't mean they're not healthy. Right. We have certain body types.
Right. Right. Yeah. You definitely have body types, Mark. And I think depending on your height, there is a ideal body weight for most humans. Of course, you're going to have exceptions and you're going to have people who don't fit into any unique category. But for the most part, people, there is an ideal body weight for everybody. And I think the thing about diet and exercise that's lost in the conversation is the fact that I think that most people are so focused on just image, you know. The way you eat, you know, and the amount of exercise you get should be focused on health, you know. And if you make that the focus, the look and the image will come along with that. And I think a lot of people, primarily due to the high commercial value of dieting, you know, all the commercials you see, the movies you see, the models, I think so many people are focused on image. But that shouldn't be the only focus. You know, your health should be the primary focus.
I mean, if We do get obsessed by dieting, but the more I read about dieting, the more I talk about diets in the air over the years, it seems to be clear that, I mean, I don't trust most diets.
Right.
And I wouldn't trust most diets people give you. I mean, the idea is to eat healthy.
To eat healthy.
To eat well and eat healthy.
Right.
And not overdo it.
Exactly. And I really don't recommend dieting at all. I think you're, like you're saying, Mark, that your diet or what you eat needs to be healthy. It needs to be a lifestyle. It's not something that you do every, let's say, 6 months or every 5 years. But no, it's something that you should incorporate into your daily life and something you should practice all the time. Just think about what you eat. I think, you know, if we were honest, I think every one of us, every time before we put that piece of something in our mouths, we know. We know if it's healthy, if it's unhealthy, you know. You know that much, you know. And I think we have to start making those decisions on a daily basis all during the day, you know. And so forget about dieting. Just think about eating well and eating healthy.
410-319-8888. Join us here as we talk with Dr. Jeffrey Brown about your health, about Health Power 101, his book, about taking control of your life. It's just written very plainly, very clear, and it has a great deal to do with how you can make your own decisions about your own health care, from picking a physician to understanding your medications, just taking control of your life and your own health. I mean, one of the things I love this one piece you have is when you write about Let's Talk Fat.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this, we talked about this before we went on the air, you have this chart. the body mass index, right?
Right.
BMI chart.
BMI.
And I said, when I looked at this chart, I was pushing it at one point. I was just like 5'8", which is what I am.
Uh-huh.
There was a point where I was pushing like 190 pounds. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't feel obese or even overweight at that rate. My pants were tad tight. I had to get rid of that because I want to buy new pants.
Right.
But I mean, so so how do you do this? You don't panic. I mean, when I went to the physician, he said, You have 10% body fat, which is not bad. Guy my age, it's okay.
Right, right.
So I didn't feel obese, but that's still, you're saying, carrying too much weight.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what you really have to understand here, when doctors use and other people use the term obese and obesity, it's not a social judgment. It's a medical
term. It's a medical judgment.
It's a medical term, exactly. And simply means, if I say that, let's say person X is obese, I'm simply saying how much fat is likely in that person's body. So that's really what the BMI chart is all about. Just trying to get a better sense of how much fat is in your body based on your height and weight.
Now, one of the most important things you do in this book, besides figuring out how to pick physicians, which I think is a really critical part of how to talk to a physician, what your rights are about, what belongs to you, what doesn't, in terms of your record. I mean, that your records belong to, I should say, is understanding how to screen for disease on your own. And how to understand what your condition is without a physician. Let's talk about that. Yeah. I'm talking about your disease prevention chapter 7.
Exactly. So disease prevention is where it is. There's so much that can be said about disease prevention. Obviously, if you can prevent something from happening, that's the most economical, most efficient way to be as healthy as you can possibly be. So how do you go about doing that? You have to get the proper examinations and health screening tests done at the right time, based on your health conditions, based on your family history, based on past medical problems, you know? So you don't necessarily do it in isolation by yourself, but what I'm trying to empower you to do is to know what examinations and what tests should be done, should be administered by your healthcare provider, you know? So a lot of people go around, let's say, for example, that the average American by the age of 50 should have a colonoscopy.
Right.
Now, some people don't know that. And let's say, God forbid, that you have a doctor who doesn't tell you about that, and you never get it done. And you show up at age 60, 65, and all of a sudden, unfortunately, you've got colon cancer, right? If you were to start screening at 50, when the likelihood to catch colon cancer is at its highest, you know, hey, you could be cured. You know, the gastroenterologist could go in there, take the polyp out, and that's it. You're done with it. But if you wait, if you miss that screening test and you wait until you're 60, 65, it could be too late. So it's really important that not only does the doctor do the right things as far as your health screening, but you should know what the doctor should be doing.
So, and you also write in here about you have lists for both men and women, which I want to get to. But let's go to the phones. People are calling in. Let me get their questions on the air. 410-319-8888. We're talking with Dr. Jeffrey Brown, an internist. He's written the book Health Power 101, The Complete Guide to Patient Empowerment, How to Take Control of Your Own Health. 410-319-8888. William, on the road, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Very well, William. Welcome.
Good, William.
I was just wondering how you guys, or the doctor, how you come up with the formula to get the BMI. Because I know when I was in the military, what we would do was we would do the neck and then the belly. And I can't remember exactly how they did that, as far as divided by 3, and they came up with that, what your body percentage that was. But they were rotated. They would do the neck, the belly, neck, belly, neck, belly. And I just couldn't remember exactly how, what else.
Okay. Yeah. You know, William, I really don't think it's necessary to get into the mathematics behind the BMI, but it's really just a comparison of your weight to height. And again, the purpose of doing it is just to get a sense of how much fat is in your body. Now, your BMI, once you figure that out, it can be predictive for your health. Let's say people, a healthy BMI is 24 or 24.9 and lower. If you're 25 to 29.4, you're considered overweight. If your BMI is 30 or higher, you're considered obese. You know, so it's just a rough way of figuring out, you know, where you are as far as your weight to height. Now, there are some exceptions. Let's say, you know, William, if you're an incredibly, you know, muscular guy and you have virtually no fat in your body, you may have a high BMI just because of your body mass, but you have no fat. Now, for the rare individuals like that, there's a different way of computing it. But for the vast majority of people, I don't think they have that problem.
William, thanks so much. Glad you joined us. Drive safe out there on the road. 410-319-8888. Join us here with your questions about health. And one of the things you talk about here is this chapter on how to survive a hospital. Let's talk about that.
Exactly.
And why you wrote that chapter.
How to survive a hospital stay. Going to the hospital can certainly be the best thing that you can do. And what I'm recommending, anytime you have a serious health condition, do not hesitate. Go to the hospital. If you're having chest pain, don't even think about not going, and maybe you can figure this out and fix it at home. Definitely go. If you're having some symptoms or signs of a stroke, you know, don't hesitate. But going to the hospital certainly can be the best thing ever for you, but also going to the hospital can be your worst nightmare, okay? And so what I'm encouraging the readers and people to do, when you get hospitalized, you need to be empowered to do the things that you can do to make sure that your hospital stay is beneficial to your health and not bad. For example, close to 2 million people a year acquire an infection while they're in the hospital. So that's something. Let's say if you're in the hospital and some nurse or doctor walks in the room and they want to examine you, you should really ask and request that everybody who sees you in the hospital, including your family members, to wash their hands. Simple things.
We'll have to bring you back here and have more of these conversations. I didn't realize we were running out of time. We just did run out of time. Dr. Jeffrey Brown, it's been a pleasure to have you in the studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Health Power 101, the complete guide to patient empowerment. And you can go to our website and log on and find his website and take it from there, see where he'll be around town talking as well. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. We're engineered by Zachary Coleman. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gabe Pinder, and Felicia Faison, who is working today. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, and get information on all of our shows and guests, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. Stay healthy.